Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to FST. I'm doing a Monday show.
Yeah, buddy.
My man, Jay Martinez.
Kids are on vacation.
Yeah, they are. I'm not. But they are. Seriously, Merry Christmas. Hopefully, this song is not only getting you in the Christmas season, but allowing you to raise one finger in the air, preferably not the middle one at us, but one finger in the air as champion of your fantasy leagues. I cannot claim any titles this year, sadly. Last weekend was a Christmas massacre for me, but Dave Martinez, how did you fare? I did not listen to the beginning of the last hour. How did you fare in your championships?
Yeah, so I was in two this weekend. I have one locked up already, so I would definitely win one of my leagues and win my cash. I am up on my opponent by 40, and he is done, and I have Brandon McManus tonight, but I might put up Blewett. I got 199 with a kicker to go. I had a huge game in one of my Super Bowls, so that was exciting.
And who were the guys that carried you to victory?
This is a super flex league. Okay. So I got 27 out of 27 out of Patty Mahomes, 27 out of Big Ben, 35 out of Zach Ertz.
There you go.
I picked up and started Jamal Williams.
People getting ticked with Zach Ertz for putting up an 8.8 and a 5.2.
Sure.
35, my friend.
That's
most
right.
Most receptions in a single season
by a
tight end in NFL history. I was setting those up yesterday, a bunch of milestones.
Yep.
And a couple of teams just went after it. The Eagles, the Panthers got individual accolades for their guys.
Absolutely.
But the Eagles did it in the course of a huge win as well. So
absolutely. So, like I said, two quarterback league, right? So Patty Mahomes and Big Ben combined for 50 for me. Zach Ertz gets me 35. Jamal Williams gets me 27. Mike Evans had a nice game and a touchdown. Diggs scores a touchdown for me. D-Hop is my third wideout, so those are my guys. The Tennessee defense.
You got all kinds of touchdowns.
Your boys, the Tennessee defense, got me a pick six on the last play of the game, Blewett, as well. And my other running back was, my guy, the stereotype, Sony Michel, who had a good game as well.
You just ripped off guys that combined. I think that's like seven.
I had 13 touchdowns. I scored 13 touchdowns in this one team. So I already will have one championship. And my other one, I am feeling pretty good as well. Blewett, my opponent is done. I am currently down by 2 points, and I have the Denver defense tonight.
Attaboy. So I don't know where the race is for the GST point title, but I put up a nice score yesterday. Outscored even our very own Scott Engel, who's going to be the champ in that league, but only by about 4 or 5 points. So I just bummed because I put in a couple of leagues where I got eliminated in the semis, I put up huge numbers in this final week, which could have brought me a championship. I'm in one league where I'm going to win the consolation prize and get my money back, but I would have beaten both teams in the championship game. Just one of those bad breaks that I saw last week. If Ben to Juju against the Patriots was complete in those last couple of minutes, that's it. That's the one play I'm going to think about. I would have had a championship in that league. But nonetheless, we are going to try and break down some of these games, give you as much as you can. Let me give you some quick highlights, and we can take this to a number of different angles. So, I'm going to start from the top. It would be nice if I had that set up. There you go. So the Saints obviously beat the Steelers 31-28 yesterday and clinched home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. With the Steelers' loss, the Houston Texans clinched a playoff berth. So even if the Texans drop their game and the Colts are tight, I guess it would be the Colts that could break the tie with them to win the division.
Yeah.
the Texans will still be in via the wild card. So that's a done deal. The Patriots clinched the AFC East title for the 10th consecutive season.
Surprise, Jets.
Dolphins. Just help us out. Yeah. Tired of saying this. Anyway, 10 consecutive seasons in the postseason for them. The last time they missed it was the year Brady got hurt. They went 11-5 that season, for the record. They surpassed Dallas, who had 9 consecutive playoff appearances from 1975 to 83, as did Indianapolis from 2002 to 2010. It's the most consecutive seasons in NFL history with a playoff berth. So their 10th win of the season, New England, has now done it 16 seasons in a row from 2003 to 2018. That ties, can you guess who that tied, Dane, for the most consecutive seasons with at least 10 victories?
Did that tie the Steelers of the 70s?
It's not a bad guess, but it's actually the Niners from 1983 to 1998. So that is Joe Montana through Steve Young. All the way through. So
a little Sonny Bono in there too, maybe.
Yeah, maybe some Steve Bono action. Absolutely. So,
but that's a nice run, absolutely, for the New England Patriots.
Both Brady and Rivers this weekend joined Peyton Manning and Drew Brees as the only quarterbacks in NFL history with 10 seasons of at least 4,000 passing yards.
I hear those are the top five quarterbacks of the era, not Big Ben, by the way, according to some Saints linemen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to get into it with, like, Cameron Jordan. I mean,
you just happen to name the exact four guys that Cameron Jordan was talking about ahead of him. That's all.
Yeah, like, honestly, and if somebody said, yeah, like, there was this whole debate of, like, well, is it this era or that era?
Right.
And, like, honestly, if somebody told me that Ben is fifth behind those four guys, I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to argue
sounds about
so
right.
much.
Right.
I'd have him in front of Phil Rivers. In fact, I'm on the show with Marshall Faulk yesterday. He has Eli in front of Ben, too, because he thinks Eli has done more with less. And when you look at the skill players that Roethlisberger has played with, they've been impressive. Eli hasn't. Eli worked it with Mario Manningham and David Tyree. He had Plaxico Burress, who isn't going to the Hall of Fame, but was a very talented wide receiver.
Tiki was
right.
A Pro Bowler as well for some of those.
Yeah, but he didn't win. Like, Tiki was gone when they started winning. Remember whole fallout? So
yeah, that's true.
I mean, Ben has had Antonio
All pros.
Brown, Le'Veon Bell. He's got Juju right now. He played with Mike Wallace at a high level. Mm-hmm. You know, and
Manny Sanders was there at a.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, that was Marshall Faulk's thought process. I don't entirely agree. I would have Ben probably right behind Brady, Manning, and Brees of this era. But then you bring
Rodgers.
In Aaron Rodgers, and then he's probably fifth. But
that's
I don't
five
know.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I can't. It's not dissimilar to the discussion we had last week where I said, don't worry about awards and award voting. Like, just it's not going to bug me that much. We spend a lot of time doing rankings here trying to get fantasy football wins, so I get it. I'm happy to have the debate, but I can't get into it if Cam Jordan is adamant that Eli is better than Ben. I would just compare resumes. I think they're both going to the Hall of Fame. That's my opinion. So you want to split hairs, it's fine with me. I'm just probably not going to do it with you, right?
Noted.
All right. So, Cowboys, let's get into a couple of games. We'll start with the Cowboys, since they clinched the NFC East division title for the second time in the past three seasons. It is also the 14th season in a row that the NFC East title has rotated, Dane. Pretty amazing. I guess you can call it organizational parity, right?
I guess so, or just the fact that it's hard. it's hard to repeat. You know, I always make the
point. It's ironic. We just talked about the Pats doing it 10 times in a row, and nobody can do it twice in a row.
Well, the Pats are like the San Antonio Spurs, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. It's hard, and I always make the point. I don't know how big of a deal it is, but, you know, all of a sudden, when you poke your head up, then you get a first-place schedule, and it's a lot tougher the next time around, you know, and all the injuries. Remember, this Philadelphia Eagle team, you know, had a lot of injuries. They lost their starting running back. They lost their starting quarterback this year. So, It was a surprise. I certainly did not have the Cowboys. I had them not in the playoffs, but they have found something in, I think they have found something in these young, fast, bad intention linebackers. This defense has really performed, and they found something in Amari Cooper, which opened it all up. So kudos to them. I just don't know if they're going to be a team that can go on the road to a place like Los Angeles or a place like New Orleans and get a W. Although, listen, Dak Prescott is now starting to play a little bit more like his rookie year, caring for the ball a little bit better and keep feeding the monster that is Ezekiel Elliott. He didn't get in the end zone, but still enough to win that game.
Yeah, and last time they hosted a playoff game, I actually attended. It's when Aaron Rodgers had come to town like Martin Luther King weekend 2 years ago had that situation where Mason Crosby hit the 250-yard bombs in the last couple of minutes of the game. It was a really exciting game. It was a fun game to be at. It was the only time I'd ever been to
Was that like the Jared Cook
Jerry's
catch
World.
On the sideline?
That's right. That's correct. So, you know, a little botching of the clock at the end there by the Cowboys and a near fumble by Aaron Rodgers. But that was a crazy comeback because with 40 seconds left, he drove them down the field and got the field goal. So, but I would say in general, they're playing a good brand of winning football. Dak Prescott, 20 of 25, fairly conservative. But Zeke Elliott, 18 carries, 85 yards. He has the most catches on the team and the most targets as well with 6 targets, 5 catches, 24 yards. Yes, no end zone, but I can't complain about guy catching 5 passes and putting up 109 total yards, Dane.
No, absolutely. And here's the thing. To be quite honest, you look at the rest of this box score. We say it all the time. Like, what's good for the real team is not necessarily great for fantasy, right? And I think something that's real good for the actual Dallas Cowboys is when we see Michael Gallup with over 53 yards, Beasley with over 50 yards, Amari Cooper with 4 catches. The fact that they're able to spread it around a little bit because of what Amari Cooper does, because of what Ezekiel Elliott does, that makes this a little bit more to defend, a little bit harder to defend for opponents. And I think that that's, like you said, a good brand of football. It won't help for fantasy purposes. If you're going to be playing, like, you know, one of those playoff fantasy pools, then you got to take Ezekiel Elliott as your Cowboy. But I think it's good for the Cowboys to have Beasley, Gallup, and Cooper in the mix.
Yeah. So kudos to the Cowboys for taking down that division, a 3-5 team. They're now at 9-6. So obviously they've been on a heck of a run. Including beating the Saints and some other good teams along the way. Zeke Elliott finishes. Look, he finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 out of running backs yesterday. It's in PPR scoring. But one of those guys, zero of you played. Nobody played Jaquizz Rodgers yesterday. So Zeke Elliott ends up okay. You know, you'd like the touchdown, but I'm not going to complain about guys ripping off games like that and people complaining because he didn't get in the end zone. So so good stuff there. Elliott is the fifth player, and I'm going to actually set this up before the break because I'm not going to make you do it right now. It's a difficult trivia question.
Trivia?
So I want to give you time to think about it. I
promise I won't Google it.
Yeah, I'll do it. Remind me of it right before the break, and I'll do
okay.
it. So there's a couple that we could do. So how about just let's move it around. We talked a little bit about Saints Steelers in the previous hour, but why don't we go back to that one because there was such a huge output from Antonio Brown. For those of you that are like, hey, what's up with AB? 5 catches for 35 yards, and then against
New England. 40 in the championship.
Boom, 14, 185, 2 scores, and he was telling people about it.
He sure was.
I would love the Steelers to have won that game. Don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, you and I are fantasy guys, and I think we, as much as we like our teams, I'm a little bit more impartial than I used to be, but I just thought it was a lot of fun. That was a fun game to watch. It's a bummer that Juju fumbled at the end, but man, that was some vintage AB. Just telling people about it. Ben was on fire yesterday too.
Yeah,
I mean,
really
I don't know. We can talk about like top 5 of this era or whatever. Ben was on fire yesterday. And I heard Scott say, you know, Breeze didn't have a classic game. I think he finished like top 15 or whatever. He just didn't get the scores, but he completed 70% of his passes. Yeah. 326 yards. So, but Ben, 33 of 50, and they are hanging it on his shoulders. They're just when Le'Veon Bell or James Conner aren't around, they don't run as much. They've been passing at a very high clip. 50 throws yesterday, only 18 rushes, but 380, three touchdowns, and the touchdown passes to Antonio or something.
When he split the double team, and they did a great job on the telecast talking about how, you know, Romo's what's in vogue these days. Yeah, Romo's incredible. It's so in vogue when he's like, oh, this is the bracket coverage, and that's good for the in and out breaking routes. But then you just go, you know, you split them, and Ben had a great throw. I mean, Tony Romo is also like literally at the snap being like, count the box. Okay, there's five. We're going to run. And he's like telestrating live, being like, they're going to run a little in crossing route right here. And then boom, sure enough. Listen,
Exactly
I
right.
love what Romo's doing. He really is.
You can
it's
understand
really good
why
stuff.
Nance likes working with him so much, because he's literally telestrating the play, saying it's going to have to be somebody else other than Brown.
Right, and he's talking about James Washington getting singled up.
And then, sure
up.
Enough, they go down the middle to Vance McDonald. They get the penalty, first down. And I just thought that was, you know, just brilliant announcing by him yesterday. And I know people are probably listening and be like, oh, I'm tired of hearing how good Romo is. Well, he's really good.
Now he
His old teammate, Jason Witten, is struggling a little bit in his first season. I'm happy to give him more time, and I'm not bashing Jason Witten. It's just there was some expectation that maybe he'd be just as good as Tony Romo to start, and it's not an easy job. So, by the way, Juju, with the fumble, he caught 11 passes for 115 yards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had a great game. So,
can I ask also about this with the fumble? Yeah. It is so in vogue now. I think I saw it like four times yesterday where guys are like landing on the defender and continuing the play. Right. Edelman scored a touchdown. But like, we didn't see this in the NFL 5 years ago, Blewett. You know, like, this is something you see multiple times on a Sunday now. You know, there's been a few like that. I think there was a touchdown also. The guy was like on the defender and still stretched forward in the game. But like, why are we seeing this more these days?
I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit of an anomaly. If you wanted to make a conspiracy theory link, you could maybe say it's because guys don't get lit up anymore. There's a lot more grabbing and bringing to the ground as opposed to I'm going to give this guy a headshot and knock him out. Because, I mean, that did happen when I was growing up all the time.
Yeah. Guys, Ronnie Lott, guys Steve Atwater.
Yeah, like that was a great play if you could knock the receiver out cold. And
snot
it just
bubbles.
Doesn't happen anymore. So.
Okay. I buy
in that.
Sense. Trivia question.
Yeah. Well, let me do the Mike. I just highlight Got Mike it. Thomas, My 11 bad. For 109, one touchdown on 13 targets. He catches 11 passes. He's a beast. Alvin Kamara helps you out, 4 for 82, 7 for 23, but two rushing touchdowns. So a monster game for Kamara. All right. Here is the trivia question I'm going to set you up with.
Okay.
Here it is. Zeke Elliott has 4,000 rushing yards and 1,199 receiving yards in his three-year NFL career. Okay. He's the fifth player in NFL history with at least 4,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in his first three NFL seasons. One, two, three. Four other guys have done it. So
Four
I'm going to let you guess.
I can stew on
4,000 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards.
In three seasons?
In their top three seasons, yes.
Okay.
And he also, there's another one. I'll do the other one later. So I'm going to let you sit with that. You can answer that. And you can join us in the trivia Christmas revelry. It's Mike Bluna and Dave Martinez on FST, the Christmas Eve edition. Ho, ho, ho. I hope you won. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Yes, a merry holiday to you and yours. Ebenezer Scrooge here. No, I'm not here to tell you about the importance of the holiday season, I assure you. I'm here to tell you that during this festive time of the year, you cannot end up like my fantasy teams. Quite dead, as Jacob Marley. But there is a chance at hope for you. Go to your nearest mobile telephone app store and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. For free, you get the help of many fantasy analysts with as much wisdom as the fantasy spirits of past, present, and yet to come. Download the app, listen to their words, and win fantasy matches so you can decrease your fantasy league surplus population. If you want the merry feelings of the holiday season all year, then you must download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Otherwise, be forced to wear the fantasy chains of Faria that you forged in life.
Some families are messed up while others are fine. If you think yours is crazy, well, you should see mine.
Ah, the Murphys. Lived in Boston for 8 years. These guys are legends. They even do a little rendition of For Boston, if you guys want me to sing it one day. But Merry Christmas from the Dropkick Murphys and all of us here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and Mike Blewett. Dane on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. I'm on Twitter at Mike Blewett. If you want to be the next daily fantasy legend, try DailyRoto.com for free this holiday season. That's right, free advice from fantasy pros, free NBA DFS projections, and free optimizer access, as well as free everything else you need to dominate DFS basketball this holiday season. So stuff your stockings with cold hard cash and get free access to Daily Roto with the promo code DRHOLIDAYS with an S to access your free trial. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code DRHOLIDAYS. I'm just telling you, talk about Daily Roto for months and months. It's free right now.
Yeah.
Just go in there. DRHOLIDAYS. Free. You're like, I don't really play DFS basketball. Okay.
Don't matter.
Go to Daily Roto. Those guys know more about DFS basketball than anybody on the planet. So
You could use it as a Christmas gift, if need be.
Yeah,
for
do
someone
it.
Else.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, that's right. That's great cross-promotion there, Dane. If you want to upgrade to a free total access for the whole year round, give it to somebody that likes to play DFS. So
they just get 10% of whatever you win on DFS. That's all.
Oh, well, if you're going to negotiate, that's different. Okay. You don't want to come away empty-handed. All right. So Zeke Elliott, 4,048 rushing yards, 1,199 receiving yards in his three-year NFL career. Hey, Dane, I thought Zeke Elliott couldn't catch passes.
Apparently he can.
Yeah. If he's the fifth player in NFL history to go 4,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in his first three NFL seasons. So there are four other guys that have done this, obviously, since he's the fifth. Who are the four?
There's four. All right. Eric Dickerson.
No, but he's on a different interesting list. I may do a second Zeke Elliott trivia question.
Well, I'll remember Eric Dickerson for that one. Okay. Damn, I really thought I was going to come out of the gate.
Zeke Elliott also, well, I'll drop his other stat after you're done guessing.
All right. Marshall Faulk.
No.
Then I'm not in good shape here. LaDainian Tomlinson.
There you go.
Okay.
That's one.
Yep. Okay. I got one. Orenthal James Simpson.
No, that's a pretty good guess, but I don't think he would have the receiving yards probably.
Yeah, I guess it was a different era back then. Yeah. I'm struggling here, Blewett. I'm struggling.
Who's the greatest running back you've ever seen in your life?
Barry Sanders.
There you go. That's
good. There we go. All right. I got Barry Sanders.
Another one. He had a nickname ending with 2K.
Oh, David Johnson.
CJ2K.
Chris Johnson. Excuse me. Yeah. Chris CJ Johnson. 2K. I'm not doing as good on this because he had the 2,000-yard year in his first three.
Yep.
That makes sense.
He did.
All right. So Barry Sanders, LaDainian Tomlinson, Chris Johnson.
And the last one is an old school giant, former Super Bowl MVP.
Rodney Hampton?
O.J. Anderson.
O.J. Anderson. Okay.
Otis Anderson. Is
Otis
listed
Anderson.
Here,
yeah,
but,
gotcha.
So,
all right.
So, yeah, pretty
interesting. I only got one
pretty
there.
Pretty interesting. On the real, other on stat the I'll just drop on Zeke is that he had 1,994 scrimmage yards in 2016. He currently leads the NFL with 2,001 scrimmage yards this season. He joined Pro Football Hall's Hall of Famers, Eric Dickerson, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Edge James as the only players in league annals with at least 1,900 scrimmage yards in two of their first three career seasons. So Baker Mayfield doing all kinds of good stuff, 24 touchdown passes
as a
rookie, the number one QB. He's gunning for Peyton Manning's record of the number one overall pick with 26 touchdowns. So let me transition that over to a game yesterday. Let's take a look at Baker's stats. So, you know, just to run down the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, for anybody who was complaining about Aaron Rodgers, the Mike McCarthy thing helped you guys a lot here yesterday. 442, two scores. He ran for two yesterday. I think there's a stat in here about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's the only player in NFL history with at least 400 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and two rushing touchdowns. However, it's not the only time he's ever done it. He's just the only guy to do it. He also did this on October 2nd, 2011, against Denver when he had 408, four touchdowns, and two rushing touchdowns. Geez, what kind of fantasy day was that?
Yeah, really?
In October, 400 yards, so you're looking at 16 there.
That's 16 already.
Four touchdown passes. You want to give him six points per touchdown?
So right. 16 plus 24, he's already at 40.
So
without the running.
A couple rushing touchdowns.
52.
So that's 52.
Plus whatever yards got those.
That's right. Right.
So call it 55, maybe.
Damn.
Maybe he caught one, too. Maybe he caught one that day, too.
I don't want to throw cold water on yesterday because that was a 42.9-point effort.
Sure
we'll get into a couple of these games in a moment. But just to rattle off the top quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson coming up big for fantasy owners yesterday. Yep. In fact, in one of the leagues I'm in, that guy had Deshaun Watson, and it was a huge help to him, and he's going to win the league because of it. Nick Foles, what's
big
up?
Game.
Nick Foles, popular in DFS yesterday. Well, he delivered 471 and four scores.
You see the Patriots tweet? The Patriots tweeted out, you know, thought we'd say it in 2018, but thanks, Nick Foles, because he got, in essence, got the Pats back to the bye.
That's right. By beating the Texans yesterday, the Eagles kept themselves in the playoff mix and vaulted the Patriots into the number two seed right now. And you got to figure they're in good shape against the Jets next
gotta
week.
Figure.
But, you know, and they're still battling. I know they know now.
They're playing. Oh, he's dead.
Todd Bowles is gone.
Yeah. But they're playing for him.
You know, they got into it. And, in fact, it's funny because Marshall Faulk, whom I host with on Sundays, he really does provide – extremely interesting perspective on those things at times, and he said that they're not going to lay down. He's like, there's teams out there that are going to lay down, like Detroit,
right,
and a couple of other places. He's like, U-Hauls are packed. They're packed in Tampa. They're packed, and Tampa battled yesterday. They're packed in Detroit. By the way, Dane, well, let me say this first. So Nick Foles, 471 and four touchdowns. I went 4-0 in my over-under.
Oh, you did? All right.
Titans are over. The Bucks lost yesterday, so they clinch under 6.5 because they are now 5-10.
Sure did.
I have not won the competition, though.
Okay.
Because if the Bengals were to beat the Steelers and the Bills were to lose, one of my opponents would also be 4-0, and then it's going to be down to the tie breaks. So that Colts
I may
Titans
hit on all
game,
mine. I still, because I got Miami under 7.5, so them losing is still helpful for me.
Ah, that is helpful.
I can still sneak it out. I got them at 7.5. I got Tampa at 7.5, Miami at 7.5.
It's funny.
And the Raiders at 8.5, I believe.
Yeah, it's funny. What was the other one? Raiders, Miami, and who else?
Tampa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you and I are on the same page there. It's funny because the Miami narrative that we've talked about a lot on this network is how the Sharps way back in July jumped on Miami because of the way that the schedule played out. Yeah, exactly right. But they do have to play one of their cold weather games next week. It's in Buffalo. So, all right, so keep going down. You got Foles. Roethlisberger was the number four QB. Amazing, right? 380 and three.
Oh,
the fourth quarterback. Russ Wilson, 271 and three. He added 57 rushing yards. Pat Mahomes, 273 and three. Sam Darnold, what's up, buddy? 341, three touchdowns.
Sure.
I'm just trying to look at something. Okay, yeah. These other guys are bolstered by the rushing yards. Pat Mahomes had 33 rushing yards. Baker, 284 and 3. Kirk Cousins, 253 and 3. Andrew Luck, 357 and 2. He threw a pick. Eli, 309 and a touchdown. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And Matt Ryan comes in at 12th, 239 and 3. Matty Ice, sort of like these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, because Julio's getting in the end zone.
Yeah, and Cal Ridley had a great game
Sanu
yesterday,
as well,
too.
Yeah.
But a nice close to the season for Matt Ryan. You know, he didn't have the Aaron Rodgers game, but he had 20 and a half against Green Bay, 25 last week against Arizona, and throws up a 20 yesterday. So decent close to the season for Matt Ryan, where you have guys like Jared Goff that, from a fantasy standpoint, completely tanked since their bye week. He threw up 35 on Kansas City, and then 8.1 negative 0.3 because of the four-pick effort against the Bears,
right.
10.7 against Philly, and then 17.2 yesterday outside of the top 12. So let's focus on one of those games, and the one that I think was interesting and that I got a chance to watch a bunch of was Philly and Houston. So, you know, that game is 16-3 at halftime. Philly pulls in front, and 16-13, I should say, at halftime. Philly pulls in front. But then the Texans, with an absolutely furious comeback,
right,
to try to win that game, and they fell just short. Big field goal to win it by Jake Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say they fell just short. I mean, they did, in fact, take the lead, you know, 30-29 with only a couple of minutes left, you know, by the two-minute warning. And Deshaun Watson, you know, without Demaryius Thomas, you know, pulling big plays out of nowhere. You know, DeAndre Hopkins delivers for you, 9 for 104, doesn't get into the end zone. You know, Dante Foreman active for the first time. He gets into the end zone. You know, what I want to say, though, is on the other side of this thing, you know, the Nick Foles thing is real. You know, this team looks a little different. Now, are they better than with Carson Wentz?
Way,
I'm not going to go there. But
by
like,
the way, Dane, that 471 is a franchise record.
Yeah, I mean, four touchdowns, 471. I mean, they're capturing the magic. And I like, to be quite honest, that they're spreading the ball around. Okay, you know, Aguilar gets involved. Ertz with the 12 catches. People all thought it was going to be he only had eyes for Alshon Jeffrey, but Alshon only gets three catches. My guy, I told you for the last couple of weeks about Darren Sproles being a sneaky play. And yeah, he helps you out, you know, with double-digit stuff. Dallas Goedert getting involved. So I think Nick Foles is spreading it around, and I would not be surprised. You know, we said it a little bit last hour, the Vikings have a tough matchup against Chicago, who still has something to play for. I would not be surprised if these Philadelphia Eagles sneak on in at 9-7 with a win next week.
That wouldn't surprise me either, because you know, I don't like Minnesota's chances against Chicago. I just don't. So Foles with the record. Speaking of records, he targeted Zach Ertz 16 times. He caught the 12 passes and set a franchise record for catches with 113. And obviously, he's going to keep going there. He also set the record by a tight end in NFL history in a single season. He surpassed Jason Witten, who had 110 in 2012, and obviously he'll keep adding to that record as well. So,
and yet people last week were like, should I sit Zach Ertz in my championship?
No. You just don't sit these guys.
Like, you don't sit your studs.
Somebody called us yesterday and said, I'm worried about T.Y. Hilton. Should I bench him for? And I stopped in mid-sentence.
I was like, no.
If you bench T.Y. Hilton, you are crazy.
Right. And it's like, if he is active, you are starting him. I understand there was some question
he just
about
has
that, but if he's active, you start him.
Yeah, you just have, and because he was a couple of weeks prior, he was doubtful,
right?
Or you know, he was questionable, and he did 9 for 199 against the Texans, which we said he destroys the Texans over the course of his career. Yesterday, he put it on the Giants, 7 for 138. So, kudos to him. But yeah, you just can't get cute. The girly thing was different because we were hearing like, maybe not,
and it was the 4 o'clock window and stuff.
Yes, that's what made it difficult. So it does stink for Gurley owners. Hopefully you had it backed up in a different way. Scott Engel played an opponent yesterday that had Gurley locked in because the reason that the guy ended up taking the zero is because he dedicated himself to a two tight end setup. He had Gronk and Ebron. Yeah, he had Gronk
and Gronk, and even Gronk put up a zero. Ebron left with a concussion.
Yeah,
rough.
So it just went south for that guy. But he had Gurley in a running back slot. The reality is, I wouldn't have done what he would have done. I probably, honestly, would have played Gronk and taken that zero, not knowing that he was going to get a zero.
And then flex Gurley.
I would have had Gurley in the flex just so I could have backed him up. I would have started James White. That guy had James White. He had other running backs. But to risk taking a zero there is ain't worth it in the championship games. It's just not.
And then hope you had an option out of the other
four
worth it
in any week,
night games,
by the way. Never want to take a zero. We always say we say this all the time, but even in experienced leagues, like you got to make sure that you are set up to put your late players in the flex, even if it's a foregone conclusion of who you're going to start week in, week out. Just put the later games in the flex. Just get used to doing it as a habit. If nothing else, you say, oh, that guy's playing on Monday night, or that guy's playing the Sunday night game, or he's in the 425 slot. I need to make sure that he's in the flex just in case something happens. The bus gets into an accident.
You don't want to paint yourself into a corner.
Right. You know, like, it's just
lightning delay. It's not being played until the next day. Who knows?
Yeah, like, who knows? Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Like, specifically, we are preparing against the unknown. So, all right, how about some other fun stats? Adam Thielen, he had 5 for 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
Since he's an undrafted free agent that Minnesota signed in 2013. He has 110 and 1335 this year, Dane.
Wow.
He joins these two players as the only undrafted players in the common draft era with at least 100 receptions and 1,300 receiving yards in a single season. These guys are both famously undrafted free agents at wide receiver. One guy did it twice. Another guy did it three times. The one guy...
Was Wes Welker undrafted?
That is right. Yes. 2009, 2011, 2012. He did it three times.
All right. I think I have another one.
The other guy was like the first guy that I remember people regularly talked about how good he was, and he was an undrafted free agent.
Is it Victor Cruz?
No. He never had big seasons like that. Rod Smith of the Broncos, 2000 to 2001. So, good stuff there. So, Adam Thielen, you know, big game there. The Vikes obviously are pushing for the playoffs here, but they're coming up against the Bears, Dane, and it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, but in true Christmas fashion, it was Kyle Rudolph, the red zone reindeer.
Unbelievable.
Who popped off 9 for 122.
The Hail Mary.
Touchdowns. Oh, yeah. And I want you to.
The defensive effort on the Hail Mary? Wow.
Yep.
I mean, can somebody jump? Can somebody jump?
And you got to mark them. Like, you take some cues from people like not understand how to box out. You know, Detroit, the Lions should look into the Pistons or Andre Drummond or something. They had their guy behind Kyle Rudolph. And the other thing, look at the replay of that. Stephon Diggs was ready for any kind of tip. He's not even facing the quarterback. He's like behind, you know, he's like at the 2 yard line just watching Rudolph, you know, ready to.
Swats it down.
In essence, right. He's ready to play the rebound, which I thought was also awesome. But yeah, Kyle Rudolph with a big
funny,
day.
Yeah, massive day for Kyle Rudolph. As you said, he ends up with 9 for 122. He caught every target, by the way, 9 for 9 on the targets with the two touchdowns. What's funny is, so I went after the show yesterday. I went down the street. There's a pub there called Jack Doyle's Pub.
Sure are.
It's not
sure
a joke.
Is.
Not a joke. It's
sure
not
is.
The Colts. It's not,
it's not Eric
Scott
Ebron.
Doesn't own it.
It's Jack Doyle's.
It's not Ebron's Pub. It's also probably not Jack's actual pub. It's just the name of it. It's a Vikings bar. The play before the Hail Mary, Rudolph failed to get out of bounds. He kind of made a brain freeze, and, like, they luckily got the timeout, but the whole crowd was yelling at him, like, what are you doing? Get down. Catches the Hail Mary on the next play, and they went absolutely bonkers. So it went bananas. It was funny to be there. All right, so we'll come back and do more games after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The Morning After.
I'm not in a big Christmas spirit this year, but I'm not anti-Christmas either.
Why are you in the Christmas spirit?
I'm old, bitter, jaded.
You're not old. You're not bitter. You're not jaded.
Yeah, I'm all of the above.
Who are you in the holiday spirit?
I'm not really big into the holiday spirit. I would need a little bit of snow on the ground. I need some eggnog. Cats like me and Gabe, we spend most of our time post-show alone. Yeah. So it's hard to get in the Christmas spirit when you're by yourself.
Aw, you guys make me want to cry.
No, don't cry. We'll be fine.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Back on FST. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. On behalf of all of us, Jay Martinez, Mike Blue, and everybody here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're going to take a few days off here. We'll do some fun year in review shows for you folks, taking a look back at the 2018 football season and hopefully what ended up being a championship season for you. And Dane clocked at least one yesterday. He's looking good in the other one. For me, I made some money back yesterday, which is good. It looks like I'm going to win a consolation game unless Jared Cook goes off and Philip Lindsay does nothing. But beyond that, we'll see if I get any other consolation prizes or something if it comes out in the wash. So I'll give you one trivia question here, Dane. This is a little bit of an easier one to think about.
Okay.
And then we'll break down some.
I love how you say it's an easy one now when I mess
I said
it all
easier,
up.
Easier. Okay. Than the previous one. O.J. Anderson is not an easy answer to get previously. So, Rod Smith, also not that easy. Juju Smith-Schuster, 11 for 115 in the Steelers' Week 16 loss against New Orleans. Juju, who is 22 years old, 22 years, excuse me, and 31 days old, has 106 catches this season. He surpassed this player, who had 22 years and 123 days, was previously the youngest player to reach 100 receptions in a single NFL season. He became the youngest guy to do it. Who was previously the youngest guy? He is an absolute lockdown Hall of Famer, the guy that he passed.
Odell Beckham Jr.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think Odell is a lockdown Hall of Famer.
I know. You kind of threw me with that. Because I was like, you know, I was
Odell's
always younger
and everything, but
yeah, but you know, so I feel like it has to be kind of recent.
He's active.
He's right. It has to be recent in this passing league. Who was really young and like popped off right away? That's why I thought Odell, but a lockdown Hall of Famer. And they are active.
Yeah,
interesting. Damn,
veteran player now.
He's
end
a
of his
veteran
career
now. Is it Julio?
No, Larry AJ Fitzgerald.
Green.
That's a good guess.
Larry Fitzgerald.
It's a good guess, though. Both good guesses. Larry Fitzgerald was 22 years.
See, I told you I wasn't going to get it up after you set me up all easy.
It's a hard
I thought Larry Fitzgerald, like by the, when he was in his rookie year, you know, the NFL was not this crazy pass happy that it is now. You know, 12, 15, whatever it is, years ago. So I was going for someone of a little bit more of a recent vintage.
What was he rookie? 05, I want to say.
That's different than 17.
It is different.
You know, 18, but
it's definitely different from now. But you know, that team was good. They were throwing the ball around a decent amount. So
this is true.
Anyway, I wonder who the quarterback was then. Would that have been
Palmer?
Kurt Warner yet?
Warner before Palmer, yeah.
That's a good question. We can look that.
That's probably Warner and then Palmer.
Who was Larry Fitzgerald's quarterback in his rookie season? So okay,
Neil Lomax.
I think we're in a gap there. I don't think it was Boomer Esiason either. I'm not sure exactly who it was, but yeah, Warner was there by 08.
Right.
But he wasn't there in
the rookie in 07?
I want to say Larry Fitzgerald was a rookie in 05. That's my guess. So Warner could have been there because he was with the Giants in 04 when they handed it off to Eli.
To Eli, right.
Did he arrive there? Anyway, whatever. I'm just speculating now. So let's talk about the running back position.
Sure.
Yesterday, man, what a strong close by Chris McCaffrey.
Oh,
here's his
boy.
Last 5 weeks.
I was 46.7
points against yeah. Seattle, 31.1 against Tampa, 28.1. This is ESPN's PPR scoring. Mm-hmm. 26 points against New Orleans and 29.8 against yep. Atlanta.
I was facing him. I was scared all. Yes, I'm watching the red zone. And I'm like, yeah, throw it to Ian Thomas. All right. I'm like, yeah, do something else. You know, and I was facing Zeke Elliott also. So when the Cowboys had that, like, fumble return for a touchdown or whatever, I was like, don't get stopped at the one, please. Don't get stopped at the one-yard line. Yeah. But, yeah, great, great. Listen, McCaffrey to me, in PPR formats, like, could you make the argument? Like, if I'm sitting two or three next year, if I want to grab Christian McCaffrey, like, I think that's valid.
So with that performance yesterday, this is, again, ESPN scoring, he passed Todd Gurley as the number one running back in fantasy football by literally, I think it's going to be, let's see, that would have been like seven-tenths of a point. So they will score yep. both 372 points. I think he's going to get 37. Yeah, just
I have 380 for McCaffrey. It depends on the scoring format. But yes. Yeah, and he's not in the Pro Bowl, Blewett.
He isn't?
No.
Who did they put in there?
The NFC running backs. No, Kamara also not in the Pro Bowl. The NFC running backs.
Gurley and Zeke?
Are Gurley, Zeke, and Saquon.
All right. I can't get fired up about the Pro Bowl. It's,
no,
it's
I know.
Insane.
I'm just saying it's crazy that the number one
it's
running
insane.
Back in fantasy
but I'm saying,
is not.
Like, as much as I say don't worry about it, I get ticked off when I start hearing stuff like this.
Yeah,
but,
McCaffrey's
I mean,
the
only thing I'll say is they also announced it a little bit early. So McCaffrey's stronger close. The other three aren't bad candidates.
Sure.
It's just the McCaffrey.
And Gurley might go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, one of them is going to get in. There's going to be injuries, all that good stuff. He'll be on the roster, probably. You know, I think yeah. a better question is if we set the over-under on how many of the announced starters won't be there. I would set the over-under as something like 31.5.
Yeah. It'll be a lot, for sure.
You know, so.
Yeah. So I keep going down. Jamal Williams with a big
buddy.
Game yesterday. He was popular for DFS. I actually used him in a league as well.
I had shares of him.
That GST league that you and I are in, I drafted Jamal Williams, held him all year, never played him, and then boom. Yesterday, I played him, and I don't know where I am in the points discussion there, but he helped me a little bit. Alvin Kamara comes in with 26.5 points. Damian Williams with 25. Excuse me.
That's all right.
25 yeah. points. Oh, man.
Big games out of running backs yesterday.
Yeah, Chris Carson with a great game yesterday, 27-116, two touchdowns. Old school, no catches for Chris Carson. Old school Chris Carson. That's O.J. Anderson-style football, except for the fact that O.J. Anderson had all those receiving yards. So
right.
Eli McGuire, your boy.
That's right.
Came up big yesterday, 23.5
sure
points.
Sure did. So, sure, it did. You know, he got a receiving and rushing touchdown.
Is Eli Nothing. McGuire their guy next year?
No, he is the change of pace guy.
Got
he
it.
Is the change of pace guy. I think this is bad.
They do like
people
him.
Like, they do, yes, but I don't think they realize he's not a 20-touch guy, you know? I think what it's bad for guys like Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell, okay? Because I think those
Bilal
are
Powell.
The
yeah.
those
he,
are the frivolous
Bilal Powell
pieces.
Is the dean of the Jets. He's been there longer than any other guy. That's yeah. why. That's the only reason he sticks around. I think the Bilal Powell is going to break out in fantasy narrative, or Bilal Powell's the best running back on the team. I'm done with that. I've been done with that. And Eli McGuire's a good asset. They do like him. We talked. He was hurt all year, but we talked about. They talked a lot about him during preseason and about how he might be a good change of pace guy for them. Does Isaiah Crowell come back and be the other guy? I don't know. I could see them sticking with that same three-headed monster, but they need to improve the offensive line if they're going to run the ball more consistently. That's the long and the short of it. And they need to protect Sam Darnold at the same time.
Yeah.
So the Colts, we saw a turnaround with a guy like Quentin Nelson. The Jets need somebody like that.
Yeah.
This is ideal
Maybe
for you, by the way. They keep losing.
They sure
they're
do.
Playing well, but they keep losing.
You know, and the funny part, I said this, and don't get me wrong, I like Sam Darnold. I still think he's the future. It's all good. But I did say when that damn trade went down and they traded picks to the Colts, I was like, watch the Colts just wind up drafting offensive linemen with these guys and wind up turning their weakness into a strength and really being good. Quentin Nelson, they drafted Darius Leonard with one of the picks they got from the Jets. Yeah. I believe so. Like, you know, they restock that cupboard. Although, yes, I'm happy to have Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that none of you played Jaquizz Rodgers. There's a select few that played C.J. Anderson. You were probably the girly owner and did it out of desperation. You know, ultimately, on most of my teams, if I had picked up C.J. Anderson, it would have been just to play keep away. Yeah. I wouldn't have had the stones to play C.J. Anderson over a championship team running back set, right?
Right, because you also would have think he'd be splitting with Kelly, right?
We were hearing stories literally up until game time yesterday that C.J. Anderson is going to be the starter with Kelly backing him up. And that's the way it played out.
20 carries for 167.
They also were up 31-9, so they didn't have to get cute about it. Goff didn't have any numbers yesterday. Robert Woods, though, exploded. He's up there. If we do a year-in-review show together, I'm going to talk about fantasy MVPs, and Robert Woods is there. We talked a lot about the value you could get from Robert Woods, but, man, he way outperformed that at a huge game yesterday. He was a top three wideout yesterday. The only guys that did better than him, ironically, another Jet in Robbie Anderson, and then AB's big game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Robert Woods, and especially without Cooper Kupp, no Tucker Lee, use him in end rounds and stuff like that. You know, sneaky play if you're in one of those, like, playoff fantasy pools to have your Ram not be Todd Gurley, be contrarian with Robert Woods.
Yeah. Devontae Adams with another big game yesterday. A guy just, Mike Thomas, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen.
Oh, yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster. These are all the guys that are tops for the year. DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the top six wide receivers on the year. And they all crushed it yesterday. So thanks to everybody for listening this morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to Dane. Merry Christmas to all of you.